Langdon shook his head and told her he had been planning on a quiet weekend alone.
Perfect.
Sinsky got him settled at his desk with the projector, paper, pencil, and a laptop with a secure satellite connection. Langdon looked deeply puzzled about why the WHO would be interested in a modified painting by Botticelli, but he dutifully set to work. Dr. Sinsky imagined he might end up studying the image for hours with no breakthrough, and so she settled in to get some work of her own done. From time to time, she could hear him shaking the projector and scribbling on his notepad. Barely 10 minutes had passed when Langdon set down his pencil and announced, "Cherka Trova." Sinsky glanced over.
"What?"
"Cherka Trova," he repeated. "Seek and ye shall find. That's what this code says." Sinsky hurried over and sat down close beside him, listening with fascination as Langdon explained how the levels of Dante's Inferno had been scrambled, and that, when they were replaced in their proper sequence, they spelled the Italian phrase Cherka Trova.
"Seek and find," Sinsky wondered. "That's this lunatic's message to me?"
The phrase sounded like a direct challenge. The disturbing memory of the madman's final words to her during their meeting at the Council on Foreign Relations replayed in her mind.
"Then it appears our dance has begun."
"You just went white," Langdon said, studying her thoughtfully. "I take it this is not the message you were hoping for?" Sinsky gathered herself, straightening the amulet on her neck.
"Not exactly. Tell me, do you believe this map of hell is suggesting I seek something?"
"Yes, Cherka Trova."
"And does it suggest where I seek?"
Langdon stroked his chin as other WHO staff began gathering around, looking eager for information. "Not overtly, no. Although I've got a pretty good idea where you'll want to start."
"Tell me,"
Sinsky demanded, more forcefully than Langdon would have expected. "Well, how do you feel about Florence, Italy?" Sinsky set her jaw, doing her best not to react. Her staff members, however, were less controlled. All of them exchanged startled glances. One grabbed a phone and placed a call. Another hurried through a door toward the front of the plane. Langdon looked bewildered. "Was it something I said?"
"Absolutely," Sinsky thought. "What makes you say Florence?"
"Cherka Trova," he replied, quickly recounting a long-standing mystery involving a Vasari fresco at the Palazzo Vecchio.
"Florence it is," Sinsky thought,
having heard enough. Obviously, it could not be mere coincidence that her nemesis had jumped to his death not more than 3 blocks from the Palazzo Vecchio in Florence.
"Professor," she said, "when I showed you my amulet earlier and called it a caduceus, you paused, as if you wanted to say something. But then you hesitated and seemed to change your mind. What were you going to say?"
Langdon shook his head. "Nothing. It's foolish. Sometimes the professor in me can be a little overbearing." Sinsky stared into his eyes.
"I ask because I need to know I can trust you. What were you going to say?"
Langdon swallowed and cleared his throat. "Not that it matters, but you said your amulet is the ancient symbol of medicine, which is correct. But when you called it a caduceus, you made a very common mistake. The caduceus has 2 snakes on the staff and wings at the top. Your amulet has a single snake and no wings. Your symbol is called
the Rod of Asclepius."
Langdon cocked his head in surprise. "Yes, exactly."
"I know. I was testing your truthfulness."
"I'm sorry?"
"I was curious to know if you would tell me the truth, no matter how uncomfortable it might make me."
"Sounds like I failed."
"Don't do it again. Total honesty is the only way you and I will be able to work together on this."
"Work together? Aren't we done here?"
"No, Professor. We're not done. I need you to come to Florence to help me find something."
Langdon stared in disbelief. "Tonight?"
"I'm afraid so. I have yet to tell you about the truly critical nature of this situation."
Langdon shook his head. "It doesn't matter what you tell me. I don't want to fly to Florence."
"Neither do I," she said grimly. "But unfortunately, our time is running out."